Hello and welcome to episode 4 of Song Lab. My name is Matthew Lane.
And I'm Evan Lanham. This week on the show we had my good buddy Kenny Crowley talking about songwriting and his process. He's currently in the band Robin and the Crow. You can find him at kennycrowley.com, is that correct?
That's correct. We were really glad to have Kenny in here, and at the end of this interview he performed a brand new song called Into the Blue Forest. That's really beautiful and we hope you check it out. Thanks for listening to Song Lab. Here we are with Kenny Crowley. Welcome, Kenny Crowley, to Woo! Song Lab.
Yeah.
Howdy. Howdy. Thank you.
Thanks for coming all the way out here, bud.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
What's your current location and situation in life right now, Kenny?
Current location and situation? I'm living in Oakland, California.
Oh.
And, you know, I'm playing a lot of music around the Bay Area, trying to do my thing.
Let's start all the way from the beginning. Where, where are you from?
Well, I'm from Virginia, Richmond, Virginia, and Cincinnati, Ohio.
Wow.
So, East Coast, Midwest, West Coast style.
When did you make your way out here?
I made my way out here about 5 years ago. Lived in San Francisco about 4 years, and then cruised over to Oakland once, you know, got all crazy over here.
Sure. I've been reading lots of SF Gate articles about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about that kind of stuff right now, but
yeah,
we're not here to talk about that.
No, we're not here to talk about that. Let's not.
Cool. And Richmond, Virginia, is that that's where you were born?
I was born in Washington, D.C., actually.
D.C.
And then
cool.
Grew up in Virginia.
Yeah. Was it a musical family you were born into?
My dad's a bass player.
Nice.
He's been in rock and roll bands kind of my whole life.
Cool.
My mom's always been into really good music, but she's not a musician per se, but she's a writer, a poet.
Cool.
And a lot of creative juice flowing through the veins.
And what instruments do you, you're a guitar player?
I'm a guitar player.
And you see some harmonicas over there?
I do play harmonica, guitar, and sing. Those are
and you play drums,
weapons
too.
Of choice. I play a little bit of, I'm a, you know, master of all, no, what is it? Jack of all, master of none.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, that's cool. A multi-instrumentalist.
Or master of all.
It's more
I like
fun
that.
When you're a jack of all trades.
Yeah.
What was
I hope.
I don't know. I'd like to master something.
Someday.
Eventually.
Yeah. What was your first instrument?
Guitar. Actually, bass.
Bass.
And then switched to guitar. My sister moved out of the house and left her guitar behind, and I just started listening to Bob Dylan and Paul Simon, Bob Marley.
Of course.
There's a guitar laying around, and just picked it right up.
Yeah. Did songwriting come easy to you in the beginning?
That was all I wanted to do. Yeah.
Just write your own songs.
I started learning the guitar just to play songs. I didn't take guitar lessons or anything. I just kind of picked up some chords and started trying to sing songs and write songs.
Cool. Do you remember your first song?
I don't remember how to play it, but I do remember it.
Can you
sing?
What was it about? How old were you?
What was I? I was 17, I guess.
17?
Yeah. I got a late start.
It was about a chick?
Wasn't about a chick.
No. A car.
No. You know, I can't even recall what it was about, honestly. I think it was in G and C, pretty much.
Okay.
Sure, sure.
Can't go wrong.
No.
So let's go to now, and now you've probably written hundreds of songs, it seems like.
I have forgotten more songs than I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that happens eventually.
And so you're in a band now in the city, or tell us about your history of playing music in San Francisco.
Well, when I first moved to San Francisco, I started playing with you, Evan, in the Jolly Good Fellows.
Oh, yeah, best name ever.
Our awesome rock-funk project for a couple years, bouncing around. And then I joined the band One Way Station, playing rhythm guitar, and doing vocals. And,
cool.
You know, residency at the Boom Boom Room in San Francisco and all that kind of stuff. And then split up with them. I met Robin Applewood and was deciding to do my own solo thing, and I met Robin Applewood and found out he was a producer, and I had been playing music with him and made a real good connection, so decided to go ahead and do the old solo album thing and put a whole band together. And now,
and what's that process like? Did you already have a handful of songs when that happened, or how did you specifically start writing an album of solo material?
Well, I had just a ton of songs you know, piled up from over the years that I had always been wanting to get down on tape, you know, and then, but then when you start putting all those together and realizing, you know, if you're going to put a whole band together, all the parts that you have to orchestrate and all the arrangements you have to get together, you know, a lot of those got nixed pretty quickly and ended up, what I kind of did was just left it open to collaboration with the band. I said, here's the songs and the structures that I have, and then was open to their ideas and their input, and it really added a lot to it. Yeah.
So do you have a set band?
I'm trying to have one.
Yeah, yeah. It's never easy. Yeah.
Musicians are kind of hard to lock down.
Sure.
Especially around here.
They are.
There's not very many.
There's a ton of them, and they're all super talented, but they're all in like 10 different bands.
Yeah.
You know, or they're doing their own solo thing. And but I do have a duo going now with Robin Applewood, and we're calling ourselves Robin and the Crow.
Oh.
And so we're doing, you know, it's two guitars and vocals, and then but also we play, one of us will play drums and bass at the same time for the other one playing guitar. So it's kind of a
That's very cool.
Two-man band show kind of thing. It's pretty fun.
Geez, you're the Will.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and then we just, and that's the thing, is we have, you know, our core material, maybe an hour set, that kind of we can open it up for anyone to jump up on. So any musician friends that are around, we can just feature special guests in each song, and it makes it a super fun kind of like, you know, jamboree type of show.
Well, yeah, and the less people involved, the less people you have to count on to show up to the show. Yeah.
Planning is way easier.
Yeah. What do you call that project again?
It's called Robin and the Crow.
Robin and the Crow.
Yeah. And that's, I got my new dobro that I'm playing.
Okay.
Some slide guitar. I don't know what a dobro is, harmonica.
Sounds cool.
Bringing it back to a more rootsy sound.
What's a dobro?
Resonator guitar.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I know what a resonator is, just for the just for the books.
Man, Evan doesn't know anything.
What else is new? Yeah. So your album's called High on the World.
Yes.
Correct. And it's amazing.
Yeah, I just listened to it on the way over here.
Oh my God. The intricacy of the parts and you can just tell how much work you guys put into that thing. Thanks. Really went above and beyond. Everything sounds, the lyrics, the vocals, everything sounds amazing. I'm proud of you, bud.
It means a lot, man.
Yeah, no, it's very cool. It sounds, you did it at Hyde Street, right?
Yeah, Hyde Street Studio, yep.
Yeah.
How were they?
Hyde Street?
Yeah.
It was excellent.
Yeah? Yeah.
I highly recommend that spot.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Place is legendary.
Nathan Bald, sound engineer, is
Good chat.
Top notch.
Yeah?
He's the man. What room were you in? C?
The big one downstairs.
Yeah. Downstairs. The new one. They were remodeling it last time I was there, yeah. Sick.
Very cool.
Yeah, no, it sounds really amazing.
Super dope.
Very pro
sounding
record.
You probably write songs every day. They probably come so naturally to you, it seems like.
Parts of them. Yeah,
parts,
I write parts
right,
of songs
right.
every day.
What's your initial process of an idea or how you write a song? How do you begin that?
Normally it just comes from kind of clearing my headspace, like, you know, trying to get rid of all the stressors of everyday life and just sitting down, kind of like breathing it out and just like picking up the guitar, not really with any particular ideas in mind, and just kind of start noodling around and tweedling and seeing, and all of a sudden, you know, melodies just appear. And then
it's kind of by definition meditation, but
it's kind of therapy for me.
Yeah, interesting.
Very interesting. That's different. Cool. So anything, let's skip that. You got anything?
Well, yeah, so essentially it comes from the jam, you're saying. You kind of sit down and just start noodling and you find your riffs, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the melodies. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you do that and you find a riff or a melody or any sort of lick that you want to keep, how do you decide what is a keeper? I guess. What gets your attention in something that makes you go back to it?
The way that I'm feeling when I'm playing it. If it's like, you know, a really good one will just kind of like make your skin start tingling and just make you just start kind of floating, and you just have this amazing feeling and you're like, oh, that's it. That's it right there. And then you're like, well, I got to write some words to that. Or sometimes words will just come with it. Yeah. Like words just come right with the melody, or sometimes it's just a melody, and sometimes you just write words on their own because you don't have a guitar, and then maybe you put those words later to a melody that you found. And
that initial thing that you find, does that tend more to be the verse or the chorus of the song?
That's hard to say.
It varies. Statistically, because I mean, I've been thinking about it a lot, and I feel like eventually I'll find something when I'm writing and it sounds good. I make that the verse. When I look back, and not intentionally, but I make it the verse, and then that's why it's that much harder to find a hook, is because I've already written something I find catchy in the verse, you know, which is a sort of an old Lennon McCartney thing from what I read, and so I'm very curious how, like,
so you believe the hook should be in the chorus?
I don't necessarily believe that.
Oh, there are hooks on every, each word is a hook for them.
Right, and yeah. Well, and I mean, essentially that, this is probably not the case, because I don't know anything about what actually happened in those rooms with those guys, but it seems like if one of them all wrote all of their verses as hooks and the other wrote all of their choruses as hooks, then the songs would be as good as they are now, you know? So that, yeah, I'm sort of curious how writers, what initially they use those first ideas as their sort of foundation for the song, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really what makes a songwriter is the way that they can craft those ideas together, because the ideas come, it doesn't feel like they come from you. The ideas are just kind of like channeled through you almost. It just kind of pours out of you, and then it's how you take those pieces and put them together. And it's like, and working with different people that you can connect with on that level, like, just levels you up so much. If you can really connect with someone on a songwriting level, like, I loved writing songs with you, Evan. That was, those were some of our best songs when we wrote them together, because, you know, you can only come up with so many ideas on your own.
Yeah.
People, someone else can hear it and just hear what else needs to be added to it.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah, I've always felt that way too, about having, sort of getting certain puzzle pieces and then collaborating. Somebody else has a missing piece that I couldn't find, you know, and that's mm-hmm. That is a huge underlooked thing, I think.
Do you think you write better collaborating, or do you think the opposite?
I personally write the best just when I'm alone, because this is just when I can be the most open and just not have any inhibitions. And that's when the best ideas come out, and then I share those ideas with other people that can listen and add things, or mm-hmm. add, you know, give suggestions.
When you're writing, what's your process of, say, recording your ideas and materials? Do you write stuff down right away? Do you ever record stuff on your phone? Or
yeah, lately the phone has been a godsend, because right. I'm just running around so much, doing so many things. You get an idea pop into your head when you're driving or when you're working or something. You can just, you know, mm-hmm. pop on the recorder right. and either say some words or like hum a melody and have that idea locked down, and mm-hmm. then come back to them later. But
external memory hard drive.
Exactly. Used to be, I still do, but you just find a piece of paper and scratch down some lyrics sure. real quick that come to you.
Or worse, when you had tape recorders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was really tough. But no, technology is a godsend for us, I think. All of them, every bit of technology helps. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you yeah. can just text that idea right over to your buddy.
He can, like, start, hey, learning,
check out
the
this
song.
New song.
Right. Yeah. I don't know, it kind of helps. I feel like recording onto a phone, you know, makes your memory dissipate faster, because you don't have to rely on your memory.
There's no
to
need
actually,
to remember your own song. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no need. The phone's got it.
Yeah.
So, you know, delete, you know, hit delete in your brain. So I don't know. I kind of feel like technology can have, you know, that negative effect
sure.
sometimes.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah. It's just a matter of if you actually go back through those parts and pull them out and
right.
turn them into something.
Right.
It's not about it's about the work, you know, you got to do the work.
Yeah, you do.
For sure. Well, so like we said, I just listened to your album today. And so I'm curious about how, several things, but how you sort of, did you choose your style, your sound, or was that what just sort of came out of you? Do you know what I mean? That's a lot of what I noticed yeah. about your songs were like, you know, obviously super folk music, like, with some like old roots of folk music. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've been having actually trouble trying to define what is my genre or what is
sure.
my style. And I've just been kind of asking other people really for opinions, because, like I said, I just kind of play and it's just kind of channeling. It's not, I'm not trying to define myself, but which I think people tell me you should, because for marketing and if you're going to be a successful artist, you know, you really got to have a brand and a genre and pick a niche, which I think is true. But I think if people can just relate to something real as well, like a real human being, and see that someone's just putting themselves out there, that they can relate to that, and that's
yeah.
it can be successful too. But I think, yeah, on the album was kind of designed to just be like kind of a roller coaster of all my different styles that have influenced me throughout the years.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like I picked a particular vein to go for. It was like, I'm gonna just do all my different styles and just get a bunch of badass musicians to back me up.
Yeah.
And they were able, the sound that they were able to capture and add to it was, I'm just so pleased with it. I couldn't have asked for more.
Yeah. No, it sounds so pro. So one thing that I'm also fascinated with is sort of maybe what I consider to be every songwriter's goal is to find that signature sound, so that before they even maybe hear Kenny's voice, they say, hey, this sounds like a Kenny Crowley song, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I want to put out albums that have the most eclectic thing ever, you know? Like you just said, a roller coaster ride of genres of sorts, of styles. And so it sounds like you're maybe at the same spot trying to lock down what that is. Do you go the same way and just sort of wait for your skin to tingle and stick with that?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'm just going to keep writing songs the way that they come and flow naturally and listen back to them and see which ones are the keepers. And then, I've always really been into like listening to someone's entire album and like listening to that entire piece that they're trying to create. So I think, you know, when you just write tons of songs, you have a wealth of material to choose from, and you can kind of then pick a vein and pick all the songs that are going in that direction and create an art piece for one particular album. And then maybe you can switch your style. But,
yes.
You know, that's kind of where I'm going with it.
That's a gorgeous idea.
Do you keep an audience in mind when you're writing?
I don't.
Good.
I try not to.
That's good. That's cool.
Because I think that it shouldn't mold your songwriting.
Right. Cool. Is there anything else that you kind of keep in mind when you're writing that do you want to kind of emulate past artists that you're influenced by? Are you trying to kind of recreate something that you've heard before that you liked? Or
there are definitely songs that I have that were inspired by something that I heard, something maybe that I can't put my finger on, but maybe something I heard a couple days before,
right,
or something, and it's just kind of in the back of my mind, and that comes out when I'm playing. But I'm not trying to emulate anyone in particular, my influences. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm sure I do sound like some of them because that's what naturally happens.
Naturally, yeah, of course. We all do, yeah, everybody yeah. does.
Yeah, and there's parallel thinking, and I've heard a lot of artists in any vein just say they don't like musicians who don't listen to other music, so that they aren't influenced by them, and you know, silly things like that. But one thing that is probably not the most difficult, but maybe the most original part about each song, I think, is maybe the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
We had Nick Stockton in here before, and that was something that stuck with me for a while, was that, pretty much every chord progression has been come up with in some form or another. But the most original part that you can write is the message, and the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And your own stuff. So, and you had a pretty long album, which is a lot of lyrics, you know. And mm-hmm. when you think about it, it's a small book of poetry that you've sort of written. And what is your process in the lyric writing?
Well, I guess I'm mainly just trying to like convey human emotion and be able to uplift people, but also keep it subtle and not, it's really hard to like sing about love or sing about joy and not be like super cheesy.
Right.
I mean, in my opinion, I don't know.
It is.
And so that's where I'm really trying to gear my lyrics towards that, you know, like just like those subtle messages, but things that everyone can relate to and that, you know, maybe isn't inspiring or uplifting to people when they listen to it. It kind of can change their perspective on a bad day.
Yeah. I'll often be able to be stuck with lyrics for a long time, but one line will just open up the whole song, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Do you generally sit down and write entire songs at once, or do you piece them together? How quickly does this happen for you?
All of the good ones have just sort of poured out all at once.
Yeah.
Because it's just like something that's happening. And the ones that I piece together, usually I don't end up like keeping them, and they just sort of, they don't have the same soul.
Sure.
In my opinion.
Yeah. Man, so is there a way to force it out? Is there a way to make that happen?
I think some people maybe have that ability. Maybe the more you're constantly playing or touring or getting your chops up and this, you have just the music flowing through your blood, you just commit your life to it, then I guess you can probably force yourself to sit down and write songs. But I know that when I do, I'm never happy with the result.
Okay. And how, How do you support your musician lifestyle? Do you have a day job?
I am a student right now.
You're a student.
Yeah. Yep, went back to school.
Attaboy.
Have some more free time and, you know, a little bit of extra cheese and space in the life.
Yeah.
Nice. What are you doing in school?
Landscape architecture.
Nice. So,
working in the garden, staying outside. Supported myself for a long time, being a carpenter, being a handyman.
Oh, shit.
Working for myself, so you kind of have a flexible schedule.
Excellent. That's cool.
That's a good reminder because I need a hole drilled up in the kitchen after this.
You didn't tell me to bring my tools, bro.
Yeah. Well, it's also very Christ-like of you.
I know. I used to call JC.
Okay, right on.
Cool.
And let's see. So, where could somebody listening to SongLab find your stuff?
On my website, KennyCrowley.com.
Oh, nice. You scored the main.
I scored my own URL. Yeah, no one poached my URL.
That's KennyCrowley.
That's
right. .com. And you can also check out robinandthecrow.com.
Oh, lock that down.
Throwing some stuff on there.
Excellent.
And, yeah, we're going to get Robin in here soon.
Yeah, yeah, you should. He lives right up the street.
Yeah, he does.
Holding down the sunset, San Francisco,
yeah.
Baby.
Oh, yeah.
We love it.
We got to get out on this beach soon.
Oh, it's a beautiful day.
So nice out there right now.
when you're writing, when during the day or when does it all happen for you usually? Are you a morning songwriter? It doesn't matter. And like at night, does your blood start pumping?
I do not have a schedule.
No schedule?
I can't control it. I can't contain it.
Yeah.
Just happens, and I gotta hope that I got a guitar around.
Right.
Are you not an environment? Like I know a lot of guys who take their guitars to the park to write and stuff like that. Is it environmental, or is it all just entirely divine?
That does help. Being outdoors always has helped me.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But I have a great spot at home right now. It's like I can be all alone, and I have this amazing deck up in the trees. It's perfect for just like kicking back and letting stuff out. But yeah, going to parks and stuff hasn't tended to work for me either, because then I end up, there's like people sitting nearby or something, and I'm like, oh, I should play some cool
songs. Get a little self-conscious.
Yeah, like
I'm gonna impress.
Think about too much what other people are thinking rather than just letting it flow.
Yeah.
So I really like to be alone.
Okay. Yeah. No, I get that.
Anything else that you can think of that is kind of abnormal or some type of tradition you do during your songwriting process?
I don't know that it's abnormal, but I did mention that I just like to clear my thoughts before I sit down and pick up the guitar.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Keep going. Sorry.
I don't know, because you're just doing so much throughout the day. Your mind's racing with all the different things you got to do or should be doing, and kind of has that stress to it. And then if you can just sit and clear your thoughts, then you can really kind of like channel what you're really supposed to be doing, you know.
So historically, a lot of songwriters have in a way claimed that they do the same thing, only they use, you know, sort of chemical aids like alcohol and things like that.
Uh-huh.
Do those benefit you at all?
They don't really. No.
You haven't sat down with a glass of scotch and wrote a killer song?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, that's happened, but
But you don't
generally. My favorite songs have been totally clean and sober.
High on the world, baby.
High on the world, baby.
High on the world. I get it now.
See, it's subtle.
Yeah.
But awesome. It's also in your face.
Yeah. Right on.
What have you been listening to lately?
Man, I've been getting into this band Phosphorescent.
Phosphorescent.
Have you heard them?
No.
So good.
Yeah. Where are they
from? Album Muchacho. Okay. I'm not actually sure where they're from. I think, I have no idea. I'm not going to say where they're from. But yeah, this Phosphorescent Muchacho. Man, there's this new Radiohead live album.
It's
on YouTube. They did it. It's like the Basement tapes or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And they videotaped really it all. It's all on tape.
They're really good.
It's really dope.
Yeah. Cool.
Nice. Okay, cool. So KennyCrowley.com, in order to, I saw there's links to videos and your band camp and all things like that there.
Yeah, get the whole online setup going on.
Cool.
How do you find it on iTunes and
nice.
Facebook. Amazon and Spotify and Facebook.
Oh, yeah, you're on
CD
Spotify.
Baby.
That's cool. Very cool. When you complete a song, do you never touch it again, or are you always kind of toying with the lyrics or parts of the song?
I would like to never touch it again, but that's, I just always want to change something.
Right.
Or depending on like who you're playing with, you know, they might add a totally different element. So then you kind of change things around to fit that. I mean, I think songs should always be evolving unless you've really worked on it for years to where you're like, this is just solid.
Right.
There are a couple of mine that I feel that way about.
Oh yeah. Which ones?
Like Love and Pride, I think is locked in. That cool. one's pretty solid.
Yeah.
And that song Sense of Wonder. Mm-hmm. That one's fairly new, but I feel like that one, the structure of that one and the way it's set up is really powerful. It seems to be one of the favorites when I play it live. It's
cool.
Got a lot of energy.
That feels good when that happens.
It does. <Yeah. laughs>
If that happens. For a song to get locked in like that, it does.
It does.
It takes a long time.
Oh, my God.
It's hard work.
Mm-hmm.
It's damn near impossible. No.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah.
Well, cool. I can't think of any more stupid questions.
No, that's good. I know. I feel like I know how Kenny Crowley writes a song.
Yeah, I really, you know.
Guys, these have not been stupid questions.
Cool.
Just yeah. No, that really is great. The meditation kind of, or just like settling your mind before, because that's, I have a problem where I'm just like sit down and start jamming. I don't even, not even really thinking mm-hmm. clear enough or as clear as it could potentially be. So that's great advice. Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. That part probably won't be
sure enough. I mean, I think a lot of people probably sit down with something in mind and try and write a song about that, like this girl just broke my heart, or like god damn this guy just did this to me. I mean, you know, like
which I feel like I feel like that works too. I mean it's
right,
it's the process, but I feel like the best songs that I've written have come when I just like clear my mind, and then when I find the melody or find what it is, like, ooh, that gives me the tingles, then it's like kind of feel out where the words want to fit into it, and then maybe something pops into your head like, this song should be about this. It's like, oh, boom, there's the theme or the message that I want to put out, and then structure the words around that. That's just how it works for me.
That sounds natural. It sounds like the song's writing itself through you and not forced.
So you never go in with, or maybe never is a rough word, but with a topic in mind, or subject?
I do. I mean, I do, but then I'm never like, oh, that's it.
Right.
I'm like, oh, that's a decent song.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then it could use some work, and people could add to it.
Do you write an excessive, do you write more lyrics and verses than you intend to use, or do you kind of write exactly the amount of verses? Like, I'm saying, do you write extra verses? Like how many pages do you use when you're writing a song?
I try not to push it. I try not to make a song too long. I don't know. I tend to just stick to like 3 or 4 verses. Mm-hmm. And what something I've been liking lately is like repeating the first verse again at the end. For some reason,
for sure.
That just hits home.
Elton John likes that.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Yeah, no.
Get a little sandwich action going.
Yeah. Repeat.
I mean, that's classic songwriting.
Repeating the message, the introductory message, mm-hmm. can be very effective.
But I mean, yeah, I have pages of lyrics that I've just never used or put any music to. And I'm like,
bring them over.
What do I do with that?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's interesting too. That's like, you know, I thought it was interesting. Stevie Wonder would famously write a song every day, you know, which means there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of songs that weren't good enough or just thrown away side. But then Billy Joel says that every song he's ever written is on his records, you know, like,
really?
There are no extras, you know. You sit and make one work until it works good enough for you. And like, those approaches are completely different, but those are two of my favorite songwriters too.
Well, that's why Billy Joel sucks. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Damn. I'm not selling this podcast.
I don't even listen to Billy Joel. I'm just kidding.
Big Shot is amazing.
Big Shot.
Okay. Cool. So, why don't we get a a new song out of Kenny Crowley here in our studio.
Yeah, fun. Right.
Right on. I'm trying to remember it all. This is a brand new one. It's called Into the Blue. Well, you're on your way.
Jesus.